Chapter 17. A Difficult Decision. One day, when Georgie was 10 years old, he returned from a visit to Dobbin's sister, Anne, and told Amelia, "When my Aunt Jane came, there was an old man in her carriage. He had a fat face, a long nose, and grey hair." "Did he speak to you?" asked Amelia, realizing that the man must have been Georgie's grandfather, old Mr. Osborne. "No, I was playing in the front garden," replied Georgie. "He looked at me for a long time, and then he drove away." A few days later, when Amelia was alone in the house, a man arrived at the door.
"I'm Mr. Higgs, Mr. Osborne's lawyer," he said. "I've got a letter for you from Mr. Osborne."
"Come in," Amelia said nervously, her face turning pale. Amelia took the letter and was shocked by what she read.
"Mr. John Osborne offers to bring Georgie Osborne to live at his home in Russell Square, and for Georgie to be his heir. If Mrs. Amelia Osborne consents to this, Mr. Osborne will pay her £300 a year, even if she remarries. Her son will be allowed to visit her at her home."
Amelia looked angrily at Mr. Higgs, tore the letter into small pieces and threw them on the floor.
"Tell Mr. Osborne that I will not answer this horrible letter," she said in a cold, strong voice. "I would never take money to give up my child. Please leave, sir."
She told no one about the letter, not even Dobbin. During the next few weeks, however, Amelia realized that her family's financial situation had become worse. Whenever Mrs. Sedley asked her husband for money for food or coal, he would say,
"Joss's money hasn't arrived yet."
So Mrs. Sedley had to pay for everything out of the small army widow's pension that Amelia received and gave to her parents every month. There was less coal to heat the house and less food to eat on the table. A few weeks later, shortly before Christmas, Amelia's father told his wife and daughter the truth.
"I've been lying to you," he said. "I've been using most of the money from Joss to start new businesses, but all the businesses have failed and I've lost it all. I'm very sorry."
That month, Amelia had kept a small amount of her widow's pension to buy Christmas presents for Georgie. She went to her room and got the money. Without saying a word, she gave it to her mother. The next morning, she gently told Georgie,
"I'm sorry, Georgie, but I haven't got money to buy you new clothes or presents this Christmas."
The boy began to cry.
"Everybody gets presents and new clothes for Christmas," he said. "You promised."
Amelia felt terrible. Later that day, she looked around her room for something to sell in order to get money for George's presents. She saw the cashmere shawls that her brother Joss had brought her from India. "These shawls must be valuable," she thought. She took them to a shop that specialized in fine materials and was delighted when the shop owner gave her £25 for them. After buying Georgie some clothes and books, she still had half the money left.
"Tomorrow I'll buy a coat for Father and a dress for Mother," she thought happily as she went home.
As Amelia walked in the door with her parcels, her mother asked,
"What are those?"
"Books and clothes for Georgie," Amelia said. "I got..."
Before Amelia could finish the sentence, her mother shouted,
"Books and clothes! We need food in this house, not books or clothes!"
"Here, take the rest of the money," Amelia said quietly, giving her mother the coins from her purse.
Amelia then went to her room, lay down on the bed, and cried for a long time. She knew that she would have to reconsider Mr. Osborne's offer, even though it broke her heart to think about it.
"If I weren't so selfish, my son could live in luxury," she told herself,
He could have everything, money, a good education, and the inheritance that my dear George had to give up because he married me. And I would have more money to give to my parents, so that they could have an easier life.
Eventually she stopped crying, although she was still extremely sad, and sat down at her writing desk.
"Dear Mr. Osborne," she wrote, "I have decided to accept your offer. My family has serious financial problems, and my widow's pension is not enough to support my parents and my son. I know that you can give Georgie the kind of life he deserves."
She sent the letter that afternoon, and Mr. Osborne received it the next day.
"She's agreed," he said excitedly to Jane as he read the letter. "I knew she would. Prepare George's old room for the boy, and take the woman £100 as a present."
Jane brought Amelia the money the next day and stayed for a brief visit. After she left, Amelia gave the money to her parents and explained that Georgie would soon be moving to the Osborne's house. Her parents accepted her decision sadly. Later that day, Amelia told Georgie the news.
"Your grandfather Osborne has invited you to live with him. You will go to a better school, and he will be able to give you lots of things that I can't, and you'll be able to visit me as often as you want."
Amelia had expected Georgie to be upset, but he was quite happy.
"I'll be rich,"
he shouted. Amelia looked away sadly. It was difficult for her to see his excitement, although she understood it. The next day at school, Georgie told his friends the news.
"I'm going to live with my grandfather," he announced proudly. "He's rich, and I'll be able to buy sweets every day."
A week later, old Osborne's carriage came to get Georgie. As it drove off, Georgie waved goodbye to his mother. Smiling bravely through her tears, Amelia waved back. When Dobbin's sister, Anne, heard about Georgie, she had her own idea of what it meant.
"The boy has gone to live with his grandfather," she wrote to Dobbin later that week, "and I think that Amelia might decide to marry a doctor called Linton."
But marriage was not what Amelia was thinking about during that time. A few days after Georgie moved to the Osbornes, Mrs. Sedley became very ill. Amelia took care of her constantly and patiently. 3 months later, Mrs. Sedley died, and Amelia was left alone with her grieving father.